This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And with us to talk about the impeachment proceedings, two esteemed lawyers in New Orleans, Ben Baggert, named many times as one of the top lawyers in the Crescent City and in Louisiana. And he, of course, served 25 years in the Louisiana legislature. Many of those years as a Democrat, he became a Republican, got the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate run against Bennett Johnston in the year that David Duke made his big splash in 1990. And Ben is still active, and he is, of course, a conservative, and we will get his take on where the impeachment process is headed. And with us from Washington is Dr. E. Fay Williams, frequent guest on this show and national chair of the National Congress of Black Women and former counsel to the U.S. Congress District of Columbia. Now, Fay Williams is a trooper. She's been with us many times and is joining us just hours after the loss of her brother. 68-year-old Vernon Williams died overnight. He was a longtime sheriff's deputy in Rapides Parish. So we commend Dr. Williams for her participation today under adverse circumstances, and certainly we lament the loss and send best wishes to you and your family, Dr. Williams. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you, Jim, and thank you for mentioning my brother, because many people all across the state knew him, and it was quite a loss for us. It was a shock, but, you know, as you said, we are troopers, and we'll manage this because business has to go on.
Well, Wednesday, the U.S. House of Representatives is prepared to vote for impeachment of President Trump, very similar to what happened to President Clinton 21 years ago, almost to the day, by the way. It was December 19, 1998, when Bill Clinton was impeached by the U.S. House. Two articles, and neither one got a majority in the U.S. Senate, and neither of these is expected to receive a majority in the Republican-controlled U.S. Senate. So, Dr. Williams, why is impeachment in the offing when it looks more ceremonial than any action that might be taken against the president for his actions?
Well, I think the people in the House feel that they have to live up to their constitutional duty, whether the Senate decides to go ahead with the conviction or not. And I can understand that, because so many things have happened in these past 3 years that those two articles of impeachment are just two of the many that have occurred that would be realized for impeachment, or that would be ready for impeachment. What I don't understand is why they didn't include more, but I suppose Nancy is a very smart woman and knows what she's doing, so I'll accept that.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number, and please send emails to talk@talklouisiana.org. Ben Baggert, how do you see it?
I see it as a typical embodiment of the disturbing trend in this country for the Democrats to speak to their constituents and the Republicans to speak to theirs, rather than to speak to each other. There's a great difference between the impeachment of Bill Clinton and the impeachment of Donald Trump. I didn't agree with the impeachment of Bill Clinton. I didn't think lying about having sex under oath, although it was perjury, I don't think it was a high crime deserving of upsetting an election. But we don't even have a crime in the two articles of impeachment that are in the draft resolution that have been signed by Congressman Nadler.
Fay Williams, Ben Baggert is stating something that many Republicans are also echoing, in that there is no crime, that the president never actually executed this, and that the money that was withheld from Ukraine eventually got there, and that any quid pro quo is being largely overplayed and certainly not worthy of removing a president from office. Dr. Williams, your thoughts about the worthiness of this endeavor on these particular charges against President Trump?
Agreeing with the esteemed counsel about President Clinton, I thought that that was a personal matter. Now, it's different in the case of Mr. Trump, because what Mr. Trump has done is sort of thumbed his nose at us. he has brought Russians into the White House, even while the impeachment hearings are going on. In terms of they're not, I mean, his eventually giving the money, that's irrelevant. It's like if I walk into the store and try to rob the store, but I don't and I get arrested, I mean, I've committed a crime. And the other thing is, of course, the esteemed counselor knows that you don't have to commit a crime in order to be impeached. This is immoral what he has done. It's not being faithful to the country what he has done. And that's the main thing as to why this case is so different from Mr. Clinton's, President Clinton's case. So I think he has committed even more impeachable things than he's being charged with. I think the Republicans should be happy that all of the things that President Trump has done are not listed there. It would be such an embarrassment to our country.
Well, Ben Baggert is absorbing the words of Faye Williams. What do you think of Dr. Williams' comments, Senator Baggert?
Well, I think Dr. Williams ought to read the Constitution, which requires that impeachment be predicated on high crimes and misdemeanors. And, you know, Dr. Williams, I've looked up some of the things that you've written over the years. I was one of those fellows that worked with now Congressman John Lewis back in 1963, when he was chairman of SNCC. I'm the guy who quit the U.S. Senate race so David Duke wouldn't disgrace Louisiana by getting elected to the Senate. And I don't think my views have changed, but you've been in favor of impeachment since before Trump was elected. In 2016, there was discussion about his impeachment, which you see in the paper. In 2020, the headline article on the day that he was inaugurated by the Washington Post was that the campaign to impeach Trump had begun. In November of 2017, six Democrats filed articles of impeachment that had nothing to do with the things that are present now, and you were in favor of all of that. Just most recently, you stated that it's scary to see most white men and a few white women who are responsible for creating laws that all of us have to live by. All of these racially charged comments are disturbing
all right.
me, and it makes
Let's
me wonder
give her a
whether
chance to respond,
the same type
Senator.
Of prism that David Duke did.
Senator,
first of all, I want to compliment you and thank you, Senator, for reading my articles. I didn't know that such distinguished people read my articles, so I appreciate that fact. However, you know that a crime does not have to be committed in order for one to be impeached. As I said, what is more important here is that he has done things that are bad for our country, like interfering in an election. He never denied interfering in the election in 2016. And when you think about the fact that he publicly has called out many of these things, like when he said, Russia, if you can find Hillary Clinton's emails, do it. We know that that was a cue for Russia to go ahead and be involved in our election and nothing would happen.
877-217-5757 is your number. Let's go to Leonard on Airline. Leonard, you're on with Dr. Williams and Senator Baggert. Hi, Leonard.
Hey, how you doing today, Jim?
Fine. What's on your mind?
I want to say hey to your customers. I mean, your people in the studio, too. What I'm concerned about is the way Trump, the way he says things on television, like we don't hear what he's saying and we don't see what he's saying. I mean, that by itself, I mean, inviting the Russians and the Crimea, and China, Ukraine, and inviting them into our elections is not right. And for him, you know, what I think what's going on is they're gonna impeach him in Congress, and they're gonna acquit it in the Senate. But what it's gonna do is it's gonna make the Republicans look at all their Republican leaders. You know, there's some honorable Republicans out there, and they don't want the country to be at feud with each other.
All right,
and that's how the Democrats won the Congress, and it's gonna be the same way how the Democrats gonna win.
All right, thank you, Leonard. Senator Baggert, if it were a private vote, rather than a public vote, as it should be, would the outcome be any different? Would Republicans perhaps not be as intent on saving the presidency of Donald Trump if this were done without a name being attached to a vote?
Look, the nation's not in favor of impeaching Donald Trump.
And, it's about even. It's about even. I saw yesterday is 42-42 as far as whether he should be removed from office.
Yeah, and I need to go back to Ms. Williams. The Constitution does say that the president should commit a crime in order to be impeached. It's very clear. It says treason, high bribery, high crimes, misdemeanors.
All right, 877-217-5757 is your number. We'll return with Senator Ben Bagger and Dr. Ife Williams after this 90-second pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Again, your number is 877-217-5757, and talklouisiana.org is our email address. Dr. Ife Williams is with us, and as mentioned at the start, she is playing hurt, if you will. Her 68-year-old brother, who's a longtime member of the Sheriff's Department in Rapides Parish, Vernon Williams, died overnight. And Ben Baggert is with us, and they're talking about impeachment. Obviously, different perspectives. Faye is a Democrat. Ben is a Republican. And in the vote from the Judiciary Committee last week, the Democrat who in that panel from Louisiana, the only Democrat on Capitol Hill representing Louisiana, Cedric Richmond, voted for impeachment, and Republican Mike Johnson voted against it. And you can bet that Johnson will be joined by Scalise and Higgins and Graves and Abraham, and on the Senate side, William Morgan Cassidy and John Neely Kennedy will go to the mat for President Donald John Trump. What do you think? 877-217-5757. A vote by the full House is expected Wednesday. Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, good morning. You're on with Ben and Faye.
Good morning. I'd like to wish everybody a happy specific holiday. And my question's for Mr. Baggert. I watched the hearings, and saw a lifelong diplomat, I guess, or assistant diplomat, asked the question, if this president can't be impeached for this, what can one be impeached for? I'll hang up and listen.
All right. He obviously thinks the charges are worthy of impeachment. You don't, Ben Baggert. You're a lawyer. If you were defending the president, how would you frame it?
What is this? Is this what a rumor was? There was only one person who said what the president had declared, and it was that I don't want anything. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing. The only first-hand information was information that was exculpatory of the president. The rest was, well, we thought so. We heard this. We heard that. We heard the other thing. There was no direct evidence that Trump had done anything with respect to withholding the money from the Ukraine. Now, everyone knew that the Ukraine was one of the most corrupt governments in the world,
but he
on a par with Nigeria.
He did want to. He did want to have a political foe investigated, and he didn't mention anybody other than that political foe.
And that political foe is the only person that I know of that is very close to having committed a crime.
Joe Biden.
Well, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden was Obama's man. And Obama had designated him as his man in the Ukraine. And Joe Biden went on television and, in the foolish Bidenish way that we so often see, literally bragged that he had given the investigator in the Ukraine 6 hours to be fired, or they weren't going to get money.
All right. Well, is Joe Biden culpable, Faye Williams? Is Dr. Williams, is Joe Biden, as Ben Baggert just framed it, perhaps guilty of a crime himself?
Well, let's say even if he were, Jim, it's not Joe Biden who is being impeached here or who was under investigation. And when Mr. Trump made those so-called exculpatory remarks, he already knew what he had done and that he was being investigated. So that was a way of trying to move it away from him. It was we know that the money was withheld, which the Congress had already approved. He did not have the right to do that. And these are his appointees who are accusing him. These are not President Obama's. They're not Joe Biden's. They're not anyway. These are his. The ambassadors who came forward were working for the president, appointed by the president. And in one case, one had given Mr. Trump $1 million for his campaign activities after the campaign, I should say. So we're not talking about Democrats here making these accusations. They're just picking up on what was done and what was said by Mr. Trump's supporters.
Now, Senate Democrats are proposing a weeks-long impeachment trial seeking testimony from four new witnesses, including John Bolton, Mick Mulvaney, over the president's actions toward Ukraine. And Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has proposed a structure for what he calls a fair and honest trial in a letter to Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. But there is some speculation that the president may not even put up a defense, that he views this as a hoax, as he calls it. Should he put up a defense, or considering the outcome is pretty much known, try to get this over with as quickly as possible?
Well, in view of the fact that Mr. McConnell has already said there's no chance the president is going to be convicted, and he's coordinating with the White House, and any decision, the man in the White House is the defendant. And, of course, I'm sure Counselor Bagot knows that that is not the way we handle business in this country. We don't let the one who is representing the Senate defend the White House. Mr. McConnell can bring all the witnesses he wants. This president has withheld all of the witnesses who could have given any more information that the Democrats wanted to have. So now, if he wants to bring Mr. Mulvaney and any of Mr. Trump's people, that's fine. I'm sure the Democrats don't mind, because it will not negate what has already been said in impeachment. I think we heard almost everything that could be said except from Mr. Trump. He obviously has the right to defend himself. He chose not to during the impeachment.
All right. Now, Ben Baggert, the president, has stated that he doesn't want any of his people to testify. That's really not his call, but he's getting his wish. Should he try to prevent people like Bolton and Mulvaney from taking the stand?
Is that addressed to me?
Yes.
The president, you know, we have a separation of powers provision in the Constitution. Congress does its job. The president does its job. Congress can exercise oversight over certain things. But what the House had the perfect right to do was seek judicial intervention on the question of whether withholding some of these witnesses was proper or not. It happened in Nixon's case. The Supreme Court decided that in the Nixon case, which was vastly different from this case, that Nixon could not claim executive privilege. But Congress knew they were on shaky ground with these witnesses. That's why they never took it to court. I have this observation. I believe that Dr. Williams and people of her persuasion are talking to their constituents. People on the other side are talking to their constituents. And nobody really is concerned about the job that the president has done. I wonder if Dr. Williams is antagonistic to the idea that it was Donald Trump, not Barack Obama, who passed the First Step Act that release over 3,000 inmates from federal prison who are improperly
Clinton,
held.
Clinton had a great record as president, but he still was impeached. Doesn't really matter about performance in office if the person has committed a high crime or misdemeanor. Stephen in Denham Springs. Stephen, you're on with Ben Baggert and Faye Williams. Good morning, Stephen.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Hey, guys. My question is, if President Trump gets elected to another 4 years coming in 2020, could he possibly be impeached again? I mean, and what would that mean for the term impeachment? Would it just kind of deteriorate the meeting?
Well, he could be impeached many times. As long as he's not convicted, he couldn't be removed from office. And the irony, as the New York Times has posited, that Trump could be impeached and convicted and then still run for re-election and win. So that would be an ultimate irony. Where is this going, Faye Williams? Is it going to hurt in the court of public opinion for the president who's on the ballot in 10.5 months?
Well, what I think is going to hurt is that Trump is now saying he cannot be investigated even if he shot somebody in the street on Fifth Avenue. The danger is not having a fair trial so that he might be reelected, is that he may well be reelected. But is that what supporters of Mr. Trump want, him to be able to go back to Russia and say, that's okay, go ahead, interfere in our elections, but it's not going to be only Russia once they find out that Trump is on the take?
877-217-5757. Back, we'll go to the calls with Gustavo after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. One more segment with Dr. E. Faye Williams and Senator Ben Baggert. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, producing Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferries. And your number, 877-217-5757. Send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. And we're talking about the impeachment process. The Judiciary Committee has advanced 2 articles of impeachment. Party line vote, by the way. And then Wednesday will be a vote from the full Senate. I think I disconnected Gustavo during the break. So, Gustavo, if you're listening, please give us a call. President Trump, unlike President Clinton, did not testify in his impeachment proceeding. And as we know, when Ken Starr was investigating the president of the United States at that time, William Jefferson Clinton, went under oath. Donald Trump has stated that he does not want to do that. He did provide written answers to Bob Mueller, but he has a history of avoiding scrutiny when it comes to legal matters. When his first marriage was a product of divorce with Ivana, he took the fifth more than 100 times in his deposition when he got a divorce. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
You know, I can't think of a better case to impeach a president, and this will make the founding fathers, who sacrificed so much, and so many men and women who have defended the Constitution of the United States. President Trump is openly defying every subpoena for every document and for every person in his administration, and it's not presidential privilege if a crime is involved in that conversation. What it would say about future presidents who can do, say, act any way they choose and deny subpoenas from the Congress of the United States.
All right, Ben Baggert, is the president obstructing justice? Do you think this is a matter of obstruction, or is the president just doing what somebody would do if they're under scrutiny and trying to avoid implicating himself or herself? Your thoughts?
Obstruction of justice is a very involved federal crime. And what the president has done does not satisfy any of those definitions of obstruction of justice. It's about a 5-page statute in the United States Code. What the president has done is he has said, I am exercising my privilege under the Constitution not to have people that I've conferred with in private.
All right. Faye Williams, a listener, by the way, is correcting me. Tracy says the president in his deposition for divorce took the fifth 97 times, not over 100 times. 97 times he took the fifth when he was questioned about his marriage to Ivana, who, by the way, accused him of rape in that marriage, in her testimony. But Faye Williams, the president, is certainly playing dodgeball here. And is that just what people do in this kind of situation?
Well, yes, and I would ask my friend Ben if he does believe that no one is above the law. Because in this case, Trump has told us he can do whatever he wants to do. It doesn't matter whether it's criminal, whether it's immoral, what have you. And we know that if he is not convicted in the Senate, he can run again, win, run out the statute of limitations, and not pay for any of his acts. Stormy Daniels, for example, if we want to talk about that, selling out our country for his personal business to get reelected, his tax problems, his all of us have to show ours. People have the right to see ours. He thinks he's above the law. His defrauding students at Trump University and having to pay all of this money out because of that.
But that's not
so
on the plate.
Things.
That's I know it could be, but it's not on the plate. So
that's right. But I just wanted to ask Ben if he believes that all of these things the president does should be above the law.
All right. You want to respond, Ben Baggert?
Yeah, it's a Democratic, it's above the law business. It's a Democratic talking point. The Democratic National Committee comes out with it, and all of a sudden, all of the mainstream media, CNN, Nancy Pelosi talk about above the law. I don't think the president's ever said that he's above the law or done anything to indicate that he's above the law. He said, "I'm not answering, I'm not responding to subpoenas." Well, what you're seeking is the private conversations that I've had between me and my advisors, no more than. You could get that information from Nancy Pelosi's chief aide.
All right, 877-217-5757. Let's go to Andy in Goodwood. Andy, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning, Jim. I think reasonable people have made up their own minds about what an unethical, dishonest human being we have as president. But, Benny, this is directed at you. Would you be proud of your son if he behaved this way?
All right.
There's a lot about Donald Trump's behavior that I think is improper. The question isn't, do we impeach a president because he behaves improperly? The question is, do we impeach a president because he commits high crimes and misdemeanors? I'll turn the question back on you. Would you be proud of son, if you reduced unemployment, especially African-American unemployment, but unemployment to the lowest it's ever been, would you be proud of your son if he refused to engage us in foreign wars that we really had no business being engaged in?
Dr. Williams, the president has made the point that Ben is kind of making now that you shouldn't impeach somebody when they're, quote, doing a good job. Now, some people would believe otherwise. The numbers Ben states are correct, but we also are headed for the largest deficit in the country's history. And there are some other issues that are not good if we're tallying up the good points and bad points for the president. And the speaker has said that all roads lead to Putin. Is that hyperbole, or is there something to this?
Well, obviously, as Mr. Trump continues to bring Russians into the White House, the people's house, even while he's being impeached, I think that's something we ought to think about. But, you know, I just find it interesting that none of these things that the president has done is impeachable to some people.
Right.
Years, they don't want to hear about the bad things that this president has done before and after he has been president. So, but I think the caller is correct. Some people have made up their minds. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want this person to be impeached. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Mr. Trump is willing to put down any and everybody who doesn't look like them.
Clyde in Lafayette. Clyde, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Morning. I've been a conservative, I guess, since Ronald Reagan. And what's going on right now has me so disturbed that I'm really considering voting for anybody else other than Donald J. Trump. My daughter, who is 21, has never voted. But because of Trump and his behavior, she now is doing everything she can to get her young people around her involved with voting. So he can continue to do the things that he's doing right now because he was in trouble, so he's starting to enact a lot of better policies and so forth. But the young people are really tired of it.
All right. You're a Republican now, Clyde?
Yes, I am. But I'm really, when it goes to that ballot box, I will probably stay a Republican. But if Donald Trump is the candidate, I will not be voting for him.
All right. Ben Baggert, the Republicans, by and large, are overwhelmingly in the corner of Donald Trump. Clyde is an aberration in that respect. But if he suddenly lost support within the base, as they call it, would that perhaps change some minds of Republicans who are weighing whether or not to vote for impeachment?
Is that addressed to me, Jim?
It is.
I think we're talking about two separate things. I think Trump's behavior is sometimes boorish, aggravating, bombastic, braggadocious, all of those things. And I don't think that he's not the Abraham Lincoln Republican who is my idol. Nevertheless, I don't think he's committed an impeachable act, and it's hard to disagree for anybody to disagree with some of the policies that he's been responsible for, making NATO put up its share of the money in defense of Europe, reducing unemployment, increasing wages.
All right. He also has appointed two very conservative justices to the U.S. Supreme Court. And this election, let's face it, is first and foremost about the two Democrats who are in their 80s on the high court, and Stephen Breyer and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And if Trump wins, that means that Republicans will hold an ideological advantage of 7-2 on the high court. Is that something that concerns you or alarms you, Dr. Williams?
That is absolutely alarming. I mean, if we have justices on the Supreme Court who are going to agree with the president, I am absolutely afraid of what will be happening for years to come, because I'm sure they will be younger judges and will have to live with it. Now, we're talking about they're defending a man who has called the FBI scum, that, you know, has said bad things about people of color, who have so many of his people that he appointed in prison now, that he used as his friends, as backup. So it seems everybody's being punished except Donald Trump, and Donald is the one who started all of this.
Well, Ben Baggert, this election, it certainly will have implications.
But what bad has he said about people of color? I'd like to know.
Well,
I haven't heard.
Well,
I think all you had to do is listen to all of the things down at the border and all of the people who have died down there, because it just seems that people didn't care.
Well, he's frequently called black people that he disagrees with low IQ individuals.
Yes.
And he's called Amoroso, who worked for him, a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But he calls a lot of people names, and that's
right.
What he does.
he's an equal opportunity insulter.
Well, on that note, we'll let you go. Thank you, Ben Baggert. Always a pleasure. Fine lawyer from New Orleans and was a good lawmaker at the Capitol for many years. And Dr. Ife Williams, the president of the National Congress of Black Women. And we certainly commend you for coming on when your brother died. This is Jim Eakster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana, produced today by Matt Doyle and Kirby Ferries. And if you'd like to call, the lines are now open, 877-217-5757, or send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Several emails, too many to read on air, but here's one from Ricky Causey, who says, "We live in a sorrowful period of looking away. It's extremely perplexing that Republican lawmakers, for the most part, accept and do not condemn the vulgar, rude, childish, and thoroughly undignified behavior of Donald Trump. The impeachment is irrelevant compared to the larger issue of an appalling lack of decency displayed by Trump that would not be tolerated in any other workplace or institution or properly functioning group or family." Philip Gould writes, "President Trump withdrew congressionally mandated aid to the Ukraine and its defense against Russia, and then shook down the country's president to investigate a domestic political opponent. He only cleared it once the media outed this to the public. I maintain that in doing so, he was aiding an adversary, a potential enemy of the U.S. and Europe, in its ongoing conflict against Russian aggression. This is treason and is constitutionally impeachable, I feel," writes Philip Gould. And let's see, one more. Matt, here's Catherine Wells writing, If Mitch McConnell rejects the reasonable ground rules suggested by Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, insists on a non-trial, could the House consider treating that as a breach of Senate's oath and withhold the articles until the Senate reconsiders? Doubt that that will happen, but she goes on to say that McConnell has made it clear he wants a quick, quiet trial with no witnesses or documents to avoid both further incriminating the president or to avoid the kind of circus we saw in the House Judiciary Committee hearings. Friday was a big day at LSU as King Alexander, the president of the university, departed after 6.5 years. He's technically on the job until the end of the year, but we know how that goes. Just like Joe Oliva, the former athletic director who's still on the payroll. Joe Oliva hasn't even been in the state, and he's still getting a paycheck from LSU for not working, and King Alexander will soon be the president of Oregon State University, leaving here to go to Corvallis, Oregon. He arguably is taking a lateral move, but as we know in the last few months, he's been engulfed, the King has, in various conflicts with prominent people, most notably Richard Lipsey, and he probably thought it was time to move on. And 6.5 years is a long time for a president or chancellor at LSU. As Mike Martin said, the predecessor to King Alexander as chancellor, that LSU is the most political place on the planet. So we wish him well. King Alexander certainly had good numbers as far as student enrollment, and he did it at a time when the university was facing huge budget cuts. And then Saturday, Joe Burrow captivated the nation. The LSU quarterback became the first Heisman winner for the Tigers in 60 years, succeeding the great Billy Cannon, who won in the year of 1959, and ironically got the Heisman from Richard Milhouse Nixon, who was vice president at the time. Here was Joe Burrow Saturday night.
Can you imagine a guy like Coach O giving me the keys to his football program? He just means so much to me and my family. And to LSU, I sure hope they give him a lifetime contract. He deserves it.
Coach O is 58, a late bloomer. And as age goes, Joe Burrow's a late bloomer. He's 23. That's pretty old for a college quarterback. Burt Jones, one of his predecessors, is LSU quarterback who finished fourth in the Heisman balloting in 1972, was NFL MVP when he was 25. So Burrow has some shoes to fill to be ranked as the greatest quarterback ever for LSU. But the Tigers are getting all kinds of attention. They're the favorites to win the national title, seeded first in the Final Four. They'll play Oklahoma in Atlanta on December 28th. Clemson faces Ohio State in Arizona. And the two winners will play for the title January 13th in New Orleans, 4 weeks from tonight. But Coach O is getting so much attention that one Howard Stern paid tribute, and as only Howard Stern can, to Coach O. And here's a bit of that, starting with Coach O losing his composure just a bit when he was hired as coach 3 years ago.
Obviously, but it's not about me. It's about the people of Louisiana. It's about LSU, about all of us pulling together, one team, one heartbeat. Last of all, I'd like to thank my mom. And
yeah, he crumbles.
Yeah. Mom.
I tell you, thank my dad.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
For all they've done.
What'd they do? You seem like an angry
dude. Made them mad I am today.
What?
I think they made him angry is what
yeah,
they did.
Yeah, they made a mess.
He actually, Howard, so he went to college for LSU for a couple of weeks, and then he dropped out because he was homesick.
Right.
And his dad made him work installing telephone poles along roadways. And that, in turn, made him miss football, and he went back to school, went to a different school, right. And then ended up coaching in a few different places, and that got him to LSU.
Do the pros want this guy? Because if he's winning so much in college.
Not yet. No. He's
a big, young guy?
How old is he?
He's in his 50s, I believe.
Oh. Yeah.
And he's...
I wonder what he sounded like when he was 16. Was he like, hey, hey?
My guess is that he's always had this kind of voice.
I don't think he translates to the pros.
No?
Coaching.
Why?
No, I think that he responds, these kids that are in college respond to him and respond to that.
Right.
Pro players that are making more than you as the coach.
They're not issues, Ed.
Yeah, they might not respond to that same fact.
He disagrees with you. He's on the phone right now. This is Ed. How do you say his last name?
Orgeron.
Mr. Orgeron?
Hello. Come on, Mr. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, you were intense, dude.
I'm pretty and you know, in my early days, I was very wild. I was very easygoing, and nowadays, I'm a lot more. Hold on 1 second. Hey, drop the ball again and I'll stab you. I'm a lot calmer nowadays.
Brent says you don't weigh, you would be good for the pros. Like the pro players would probably not issue you.
That is absolutely not true. Listen, we beat Georgia 55-3. We beat the Texas Longhorns there. We got Joe Burrow here. We got Miles Brennan there. We got Jamar Chase here. We got Jacob Phillips there. We got Cameron Lewis there. Baton Rouge is stronger than any other team. I don't know about that Tampa boy.
What do you think of Coach Orgeron, John?
I love him as a coach. I think he gets the most out of his players, and you're not going to cross at Orgeron. He's a tough.
Who is low energy man speaking here?
Well, he actually has two personalities. That was his low energy personality. He's also very high energy.
If you talk to him later today on his sports show, he'd be much higher energy.
This man got to do what I do every morning. I wake up, I drink a 2 gallon of bleach, and then I take a gasoline bath and I chug the energy drinks. I got the high energy. That's what you need, boy.
Oh, he's got high energy, just not here.
Actually, Howard, in 1992, Ed headbutted the manager of a bar in Baton Rouge and got arrested. The charges got dropped, but he dropped out for a year to straighten out from football, and then he came back afterwards. So he's as wild as his voice is.
You're wild, John says.
I'm a little wild. Just since the headbutt, I don't do too much of that no more. Hold on.
What were they doing?
They weren't running fast enough. See what we do here? We do the grenade drills with the team here. I get a box of grenades, toss them down the field. Hold on 1 second. You better run!
Enough of that. You got any more clips of this guy?
Yeah, so he uses his energy to motivate the team, and here are some of his players talking about how Coach O punches himself in the face and rips off his shirt to get psyched before a game.
Of course.
Maybe some of you guys ought to start doing
that. I would like to see that kind of thing going on before we start the show.
I'd like to see Shuley get a little worked up around
slap
here.
Yourself. I'll rip this off slap right now, dude. First.
Of course, O, on game day, he'll come in the meeting, he'll come in the team room or the locker room, and he'll give himself a punch in the chin. I tell him, like, it's a real serious punch, and he'll look at us and he'll start growling. He'll give us a growl, and you know what time it means. You know, it's time to go win a ball game.
Before Ole Miss, it's first time back, and his pregame speech just came in, started screaming, yelling, and then he chugged a Red Bull, and then we got on the bus, so... I mean, that was pretty interesting. Got the team pretty fired up.
Oh, yeah. He came in there, ripped his shirt off, had a Red Bull. He chugged it, threw it down, and it lit up the room.
Yeah.
Boy, it doesn't take much to entertain you guys.
Yeah, man, I see him in my nightmares.
He drank a Red Bull, and it got us all fired up.
Once Coach kicked himself in the balls, which is pretty cool. Once Coach lit himself on fire right before the big game. Really motivated me, man.
Sacrificed a child once.
That kid sounds like he's been skipping class, whatever that is.
These kids don't go to class.
Football is class.
Right.
Coach don't want us going to class. Coach is intense. Man, one time right before the game, he burned them.
He called them grenade drills because he fires off a grenade.
Yeah, right at game, right at halftime, we was losing, so Coach threw himself down the stairs.
What kind of megalomaniacs?
They should just ban that whole sport. Great.
Howard, at the college he previously coached, Ole Miss, his first team meeting, he tore off his shirt and challenged the entire team to a wrestling.
Yeah. Coach ate an infant. Right before the game.
And then they got their ass kicked.
Yeah. Coach was amazing. He chopped his head off, but the doctor came in and sewed his head back on. Oh, God. Oh, my God. What's this last clip?
Well, you heard in that the players talked about how he loves his energy drinks.
Yeah.
So he was on the Dan Lebatard show, and he revealed sometimes he drinks 8 to 10 energy drinks a day.
How many Monster energy drinks do you drink a day?
You know, when I'm drinking them, I may go 8 to 10.
That's amazing.
Good Lord, Ed.
Yeah, look, if we're going to do something here at LSU, we do it full speed.
That's Coach O getting the Howard Stern treatment. You know you made it when you get the Howard Stern treatment. And Steve Myers notes that headbutting incident in 1992 was at the Catery. Long live the Catery, which burned down 10 years ago on New Year's Eve. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial.